You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. At home on a Wednesday, yeah, broadcasting live from Studio One here at the corporate headquarters after I don't know how many days, about 8 days away, so nice to be home. Jack and Joe fired up to see me yesterday, that was awesome, and but a great week, so yeah, so very, very cool. Very cool. But all, like everybody, always good to be home. Always good to be home. And I have to tell you, yesterday something, if you didn't listen yesterday, shame on you, first of all. But something happened on the program that's gone, I won't say it's gone viral, but for All Marine Radio, it's gone viral. And that is, for those of you who listen, right, you know how funny Jeff Kenny is, right? Like, there's funny, and then there's funny. And he's funny, right? And he's at his funniest when he's just being honest, right? When he's telling stories, and he's telling, like, you know, he's telling the truth about these stories. And honestly, it's hilarious. So I'm gonna play a little audio here from yesterday, and you're gonna get, if you missed it, you need to listen to the whole interview. Jeff was in Tehran, I want to say 76 and 77, and as guarding the embassy, yeah. So he turned 20 over there, and you're gonna hear him talk about that here in a second. But the interview is, I mean, fascinating because it was the experience, you know, just talking about the experience that a lot of guys had. You know, better guys had, because you had to qualify to be in the personnel reliability program, which was not easy to get into, and it was even more difficult to stay in. And so, and then they found themselves going around the world guarding embassies, right? And, you know, it's one of the exotic stories of the Marine Corps, right? Guarding embassies and capitals of foreign countries, and then everything that you're exposed to. And in the interview, Jeff talks about meeting Anthony Quinn and Jennifer O'Neill. Peter Graves comes up in the interview. Yeah, so it's interesting, right? And I never saw Summer 42, but I had, in the interview I said, Jennifer O'Neill, man, she's like drop-dead beautiful woman. I said, what movie was she famous for? Because she was a model, right? And we both said Summer 42. But anyway, so I'm going to play I'm going to play the audio from yesterday. And so if you missed out, you should listen to this interview. So here's Jeff Kenney, and the first thing he's talking about, what a great time he had, and it's really funny. The whole thing, honestly, is really funny, but here's Jeff from yesterday if you missed it.
But I'll tell you what, it was the best year of my life, bar none, to this year. It pisses my wife off. What about the year when the kids were? I go, that was more of a pain in the ass than I'm letting on. I go, but that was, I was in great shape. I had no worries because I was too stupid to have worries. And I was only 19, 20. I turned 20 over there. And it was just great. His name was Rodney Lee Stepp. And he's near the end of my time in Iran. He gave me a 6-5. It all writing all over. He goes, this is my 6-5. He goes, well, you get in 6-5.
Hold on. Well, tell everybody what the 6-5 is.
It's Squad Leader's Handbook. It's a Marine Corps publication. And so he said, when you get to the grunts, you should try for Super Squad. You probably won't win, but it's the best training there is. So I have to tell you, that he's how I got to 3-5. When I reenlisted, I said, he goes, he calls me in Germany, and he says, or no, I called him. He goes, what's up? You know, I hadn't talked to him. I put him up a little bit. When he rotated out, I was in Germany, and he was going home. And so he came through Germany, you know, we went out, we had some drinks and shit, you know, he chased a couple of women, because he was single too, you know, and he says to me, he gets back there, and I re-enlist, and I said, hey, Gunny, I re-enlisted, and I got orders for 1st Marine Division. He goes, you dumbass. Well, you want to come to 3-5? I go, yeah. And he was my company Gunny.
Wow.
When I got there, he picked me up at the bus station from the airport. You know, from LAX, I drove down the bus to Oceanside, and he picked me up in a Corvette. I had to hang on to my shit because there's no back seat. And I went to his house. He lived in that high rise right near Del Mar, on the bottom deck, you know, overnight west of San Iwo Jima that night with that regular TV, just providential. Then he took me to division, and he told him, this guy's going to V-35. Well, Gunny, we need people in 2-5. He goes, you don't understand. He just bogarted the corporal. and my orders for, and I went to fucking 3-5, man, and that's where I was.
Wow.
And he was my, hey, another little libo story. I'm drunk in the embassy, in the bar, right? And
at the embassy in Tehran.
Yes, I'm 19, and he goes, it's like June of 1977, and he goes, Corporal Kenny, you're drunk, you're making an ass of yourself. Go to bed. So I'm like, God, fuck. So I go, wait a minute, Gunny. You know how when you're drunk, you don't think straight? I go, wait a minute, aren't we on libo now? He goes, I suppose. I go, well, that means you can't tell me what to do. So go fuck yourself. I'll kick your ass. He goes, you will. Everybody's there with their mouths open. And this is one of those, like, blackout type drunks, you know? I don't remember too much. So we go out to the little patio, and I'm fucking getting my shit hot now and He always wore cowboy boots and black slacks and like a sports coat, an open shirt.
Right.
He kicked the balls with the cowboy boots. About, not real hard, but enough that he goes, ooh, and bend over. Then he pulls my shirt over my head and pushes me over some lawn chairs. So I'm laying there throwing up. And he goes, hey, Corporal Kenny, I don't know if I can stand much more of this ass whipping. What do you say, Paul, is drunk? So they took me upstairs and I never did that again.
That is hilarious.
Just like the great men like General Neller and, you know, who else is like that? General Neller and Drew Watson. You can argue with them and have shit like that. They don't hold it against you.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. No, I mean, but that was the Marine Corps. I mean, it was a rough and tumble place. And like I said, and you know, you got up and you went to work. And if you were, you know, if you were a good guy and you worked hard, they didn't, you know, no bygones are bygones. It was, hey, this is a tough place, man. Kenny's all right. He's all right. Yeah. When he gets drunk, he does stupid shit. But you could beat his ass when he's drunk, right? Just make sure he's really drunk. Oh, my God. Is that funny or what? I heard it yesterday, and I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes. Right? He goes, Kenny, I can't take much more of this. What do you say we call it a draw? Come on, that's straight up fucking hilarious. Oh, man. I've had a half a dozen people last night reach out to me. It started with Montana Man yesterday, and then Tim Lynch bombed it. He goes, dude, you guys just almost got me thrown out of my gym again because I started acting like a kook, listening to you guys and laughing my ass off at the story of that fight. And people are like looking at me like, dude, what is wrong with you? But that is straight up funny. You know, I got to tell you this. I know we say there's smarter Marines in the Marine Corps these days, and that may be true. But let me just tell you, I don't know if they're better Marines, okay? Because in the Marine Corps, you know, that I joined in the early 80s, there was tough guys, man. It was a tough place. And there's things that, you know, could have been better, right? Again, you could live as a functional alcoholic in the Marine Corps, but you couldn't go to mental health. But let me tell you, man, when shit had to get done, I mean, it got done. And there was no doubt that there was one team in one fight. No doubt. And again, when there were problems, they got solved. So you got punched in the face. It wasn't sadistic, right? It was just tough guys, and they solved things very simply. Right? Like kicking the balls and pulling your shirt over your head, right? Oh, my God. And then Jeff later on in the interview talks about how this guy, well, he talked about, you know, here's a guy who's his detachment gunny, and he sees that Jeff's a talented guy, and he's given him his squad leader's handbook, really. The 6S5 is the tactical Bible of the squad leader, the fire team leader, and junior Marines. That's what you pulled out. It had these brown, it wasn't leather, but it looked kind of this, I don't know what the fuck it was, cover. And, you know, it would fit in your cargo pack, your cargo pocket. I mean, it would fill your cargo pocket up, but it would fit in there. And so here's this guy, you know, coaching Jeff and kicking his ass when he's drunk, being stupid. But pretty hilarious. Pretty hilarious. So if you missed that, come on, man. Don't be missing out on All Marine Radio, because it's a reflection of the culture of the Marines, not the Marine Corps. Okay, the Marine Corps is something different. Marines, that's what All Marine Radio is about. All Marine Radio is about Marines, right? We happen to all work in the Marine Corps, but it's there's a difference, too. Marines are different than the Marine Corps. Anyway, good Wednesday morning to you. Tomorrow, headed down to Camp Pendleton to my old battalion. Do post-traumatic winning for a couple days, so I'm fired up about that. 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, March or Die. We had a song we used to sing as a company. Marching men who fight. Wait. Who fight and die. These men are America's pride. Men who are willing to fight today. These are the men with the French Forager. Our motto is March or Die. We are the men of Charlie 15. The best Marines fought in a battle or two. Some of them did not get through. But some have learned to live and tell what it's like in the gates of hell. I'll be satisfied when I die that I was a Marine of Charlie 15. We used to sing the shit out of that thing. That's right. I mean, look, I haven't been in Charlie 15. I haven't been in 15 ever again. I got out of, I left 15 in December of 1985. And I can still remember that song, right? And I've told the story before, but I had a Lance Corporal in my platoon from Sacramento, California named Richard Canada. And he was a funny kid, and yeah, he had a big ass too. And he used to call himself the maneuvering element. The maneuvering element. Sir Lance Corporal Canada, the maneuvering element. like, what's up, Canada? And we were homies. I used to say, where's my homie? Where's Canada? And like, oh, my God. But Canada could sing the shit out of that song. And we'd be coming back in from being, you know, out for the week training as a company. You know, my company commander, Captain Eddie Bickham. He'd yell, where's Canada? And then, you know, people yelled down, you know, down the column, Canada! And he was expecting it. And he'd get his fat ass out there, right? And he'd yell at everybody, let's go! Let's go, boys! And he'd let it rip. And, I mean, and the Marines, and most time Marines, you know, 50-50 mix of guys who want to sing and guys who don't. And, but they used to love to sing for Canada. And they would. They straight up would. And it was awesome. Guys coming out of their buildings, like, what the fuck? Who is that? Yeah, everywhere we went. So I'm going to get a chance to go spend some time with them. You know, people who listen to the program, you know, 1-5 been in the news, right? And they're the unit that had the Marines involved in human trafficking. And you know what? But there's only one thing, one way that you can, you know, you prove yourself in the Marine Corps, and that is if it gets screwed up, you unscrew it, and you keep going, and you write a record of excellence. And that's the only thing that Marines learn how to do. And I'll tell you this, it's a pretty significant life skill. Pretty significant life skill. And I think it's the life skill, and it's a life skill that a lot of young people don't get. And so, you know what? It would be nice, right? It would be nice if people didn't make mistakes and things didn't get screwed up. But that's not the way life is. Just as I described in post-traumatic winning, you know, those mistakes are going to be every bit a part of your life, just as much as the achievements and the great things you do. So I'm looking forward to, you know, doing post-traumatic winning a few times with them. Get a chance, hopefully, to see the regimental commander. His name is Rob Weiler. And Rob and I are actually battle buddies times two. Yes. I met him when I met my buddy Chris Bronzy. They were both company commanders. Rob was Weapons Company, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines in 2004 under the command of a good friend of mine, Lieutenant Colonel Paul Kennedy. And Chris Bronzy was Golf Company out at Combat Outpost in Ramadi, right? Thunderdome. Yeah. And so Weiler I met there. In fact, he was the first raid he went on. I, you know, Kennedy said, hey, you want to go on a raid with us tonight? I'm like, yeah, sure. He goes, I want you to AI. Watch what these guys do and tell me what you think. I said, all right. And so, we went out and then I flew to Afghanistan with Rob. So he showed up. He was part of the MAF, I think. I think he was doing plans for the MAF, if I'm not mistaken. So, we get on the buses and we head out to March Air Force Base, and they were flying on the same flight we were. So, you know, you're there with all your shit. All of a sudden you look at me like, hey man, what are you doing here? It's like, heading to Afghanistan. So, he was at Camp Leatherneck when we were south of them. But, so Rob Weiler. And he's a commanding officer of 5th Marine Regiment, so pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. So hopefully get a chance to see him. And then where am I going next week? Oh, I go speak at a birthday ball in Las Vegas. Yeah. Yeah, fired up about that. And then the following week, I think I go to Yuma. And check this out. Yeah, in case you don't know who the coolest dude in the world is. Yeah, that would be me. And I come home yesterday, right? I got up at, what time did I get up? I got up at 3:45, get in the car, you know, I recorded the opening hour in the car driving to Minneapolis. I've learned how to do that. Well, you know what? I kind of like that. Now I understand how to do it a little bit better. So anyway, I will get better at that. So, I fly from Minneapolis to Denver, Denver to Orange County, and I get home. Jack and Joe go ballistic, right? That's a great thing about having a dog. Right? You can be a piece of shit as a human being, but your dog will love you no matter what. And hopefully I'm not a piece of shit. And so got home and cleaned the house up a little bit, getting my windshield on my truck replaced. Evidently, once you get like 6 cracks in it, people frown on it for some reason. And so, yeah. So I'm getting that replaced today. So cleaning up around the house, opening windows, doing all that kind of nonsense, seeing what's going on. And so then I sit down, I'm starting to look at my email. I have an email from US Space Command. Like, what? Exactly. The Space Force emailed me. Exactly. The Space Force. That's right. And they want me to come speak to the Space Force. Because even in outer space, people have fucking issues, okay? Yeah. Even in outer space, people got issues. So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. The Space Force wants you. Maybe you could be one of them. Probably not, though. So, yeah, in February, I'm going to go out and speak to them. And then where else am I going? I'm going someplace else, too, that I found out yesterday I didn't know. So, anyway, continuing to build the calendar. So, anyway, pretty exciting stuff. All right. United States Marine Corps band will make it official. I want to talk after we check the weather and take a break. 9 Americans murdered by an organization that dumps weapons that destroy Americans, destabilize our communities, and raises our crime rate. And we don't know what to do about that. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to play some audio for you that I heard. And I want to have a little conversation about that shit. So on this Wednesday morning, it is the 6th day of November. If you haven't sent your shithole weather forecast in, I had a new shithole weather forecast for my hometown, Sacramento, California. My buddy Mario, who I went to kindergarten with. Yeah, I hung out with on Saturday. Can you imagine? I'm sitting at a place called the Limelight that has a whole bunch of pictures of my dad in it. And with a friend of mine that I went to kindergarten with. How cool is that? It's the best. And Mario is nice. He's a good dude, man. And he's the brother of the nicest girl in the world. His sister's name is Gloria. And she went to school with my sister Maureen, and at Maureen's memorial service, Gloria was there with a bunch of her friends and all that. And I said, you know, as I look out today, you know, I just want to thank everybody for coming. And in particular, the nicest girl in the world, Gloria Rodriguez. And then everybody starts laughing, right? And I said, and everybody else, eat it, because you know she's the nicest girl in the world. And they started laughing. So, anyway, good morning to you on a Wednesday. Thank you. dedicated to Jeff Kenney. You know, he's a funny guy, and he and Tim Lynch have they come on every week, and I don't pay him shit. And hopefully that'll change at some point here in the future. But there's a lot of people who love listening to both those guys, and Jeff is a unique, just unique dude, man. He is a he's like Rain Man smart, and has a photographic memory, and all of a sudden he starts talking, and he just stops you. But you know what? One of his great gifts is his sense of humor, and it is what made me love Marines once I got to know them, right? They are so fucking funny. And you hear this shit, and you meet these guys, and they're from all over the country, and you hear these kind of stories that you heard in the first 10 minutes of the show, right? Getting kicked in the balls by his detachment gunny, on the ground puking, right? And his gunny says, "I don't know if I can take any more of this ass whipping, Kenny. Why don't we call it a draw?" I mean, just funny stuff from great, selfless dudes that will give their lives to you. And Jeff reminded us all of that, and he's a great contributor to All Marine Radio. So this morning, this is dedicated to him.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier infantry, young soldier, and I enjoyed being around him. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You know, winning's pretty important. No joke. I mean, pretty important. And the more I, you know, it was interesting the other night I did doing post-traumatic winning at Minnesota State University, Mankato. And, you know, it's different doing it for a civilian audience of college students. What do you tell them about when it comes to, like, how do you implement this? Well, you've got to implement it on your own, which means you have to create a life plan. Now, do very many of us do that? So where's your life going? And again, I'll say myself, I mean, you know, I have a business plan for All Marine Radio and the Inchon Dwyer Group. Do I have a plan for my life? No. I mean, I don't want to get fat, right? I want to be happy, but beyond that, the steps, how do you enable that? How do you do it? I don't, right? And I've been thinking about that the last few days. That's stupid, right? I don't have a plan. And I thought about that. And this came up, in my opinion, I was talking to my son, Patrick. Patrick, before he got out, he would teach classes to the guys that were getting out about networking and whatnot. Right? And so to me, part of the monthly counseling is, as you get to know them, right, know what their ambition is. If you're adding value to them and you're helping them live better lives, whether they're going to stay in it or not, then all the stupid stuff tends to go away. Right? And so I thought, well, isn't that part of making a plan? Knowing what they want to do, then you're going to have them write a plan for you. Where are you going in life? Write that plan for me. Where do you want to be? You know, do you want to own a home? You want to own a farm? How does that happen? And let's begin to enable that stuff. Right? Holy shit, who are you? Right? Who are you helping me like this? Yeah, I give a shit, right? I give a shit. So, but to me, when you're looking at and how post-traumatic winning applies to everybody is that, do you have a plan in your life? These, you know, the Warrior Wellness Octagon is part of your plan. It's the you component of your plan, right? Now, you're going to have other components of it, right? I want to buy a house. I want to buy a farm. I want to go to grad school. I want to, whatever the hell that shit is, right? Whatever that is. So, anyway. Yeah, so let me just tell you, I don't know where post-traumatic winning is going to end up, because the more I do it, and I cross paths with smart people, right, who give me ideas, because they've been thinking about it. And so one of the things I say that post-traumatic winning does is, after people understand it and they think about it, they'll come back to me and say, Mac, have you thought about this? Right? And you know, all of a sudden this door opens, or this light goes on about how this should work. And so how does this work on a monthly basis in the life of a Marine? Well, the way it should work is, if you work for me, I should know you, right? I should know you. Okay? And not only should I know you, but I should know what your goals are. And I should be, to the greatest extent that I can, right, congruent with the goals of our unit and the time available, I should help you achieve those things. It's my job as your guy. Or your, you know. So I mean, you can make this better. And what I, so in my mind's eye, I'm going to sit down with all the different counseling orders, you know, and the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, and so there'll be not a subsequent version of post-traumatic winning. There will be one of those, but kind of a follow-on thing. But there'll be a companion to the initial version, and that will be a class for leaders, people that write fitness reports on other people that assign, you know, proficiency conduct marks. If you're, you know, if you're in that chain, then you need to get this. And it looks at, look, this is how each service council, these would be the major pieces that I would tell you about, right? These are the best practice for civilians. And with all of this, this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to enable those dreams. And so the daily work of being self-disciplined, right, of fighting through adversity, of fighting through friction when we go train, all that rolls into their life goal, because you're making it, you're enabling it, all of it. So, as you can tell, I get excited about shit. Alright, let's check the weather. Currently in Quantico, it is sunny and 56. At Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, it is partly sunny and 66. 29 Palms is sunny and 65. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton is cloudy and 56, which is a bit odd, because 29 Palms is warmer, and so is the weather here in Costa Mesa along the coast, so it's odd that they would be colder. But anyway, let's not get wrapped around the axle on that. Just a little bit of a stray observation. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 73. Okinawa, clear, dark, and 73. Further, we go to the west in Lashkar Gah in Helmand Province. It is dark, clear, and 53. And in Ramadi, still further west in the nation of Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 70. That is a look at your weather. When we come back, I want to play some audio, Americans Murdered. Americans Murdered in Mexico by terrorist organizations. And at some point, the United States needs to put an end to this bullshit, right? And all the assets that we have in terms of electronic assets and other things, we need to turn them against those son of a bitches, right? And we need to destroy them, okay? Now, if you look up tactical mission for destroy, that is erase them from the planet. Right? Kill or capture. And the majority of those guys will be killed. And that's what needs to happen. Because this is absolutely, positively ridiculous. That you can destabilize every, right? You can destabilize every community in our nation. And I don't want to hear about demand. Okay? All I know is you're invading my country, right? Your gangs that you send, and now you're murdering American civilians. I'm murdering innocent American civilians. Children. So, we'll talk about that. I'll play some audio that's pretty amazing. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying.
The original opening for All Marine Radio.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh, well, guess they can't be choosy.
One of Eminem's songs about mental health.
Wanting my cake and eat it too. Wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing. Cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get was bittersweet. It's like winning to use me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Cause
I'm friends with the monster. Get along with the voices.
Rihanna, my favorite female singer.
Friends.
friends with the monster that's under my bed, get along with the voices inside of my head. I heard that, I started laughing. All right, let me do a little shithole weather here. Yeah. I'm getting, I'm getting a Marine, right? He wants to hear some Led Zeppelin. I'm like, dude, really? Led Zeppelin? Come on. Right? From Pennsylvania, from Nancy. Just in case you want to know, it's a bright, chilly fall day here in Pleasantville. Currently sunny and 34 degrees, headed to 46, winds out of the west at 5. Less than an inch of snow expected tomorrow. Oh, goody. Exclamation mark. The, from Bev up in Church Bridge, which is 200 miles north of Minot, North Dakota, right? Good morning from Church Bridge. It's currently sunny and 5 degrees above zero, with 9 miles an hour winds out of the north-northwest. Afternoon will bring a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 16 degrees, northwest winds at 11. Minot's currently sunny and 9 above. Winds out of the northwest at 15, which drops that down. The wind chills below zero. Afternoon partly cloudy with the high of 20. 50 miles an hour winds out of the northwest, which means it'll be cold. Light snow overnight means take care when driving today. But because the temperature stays really cold, it means driving conditions will be okay. It means the roads are clear. It's cold, but what makes it driving interesting is when temperatures get into the upper 30s, stuff gets wet, and then the temperature goes to 20, and then it freezes. That's not bueno. No, that's not, as I just said, that's not bueno. Yeah, the newest shithole weather update, okay, from my kindergarten buddy, Mario Rodriguez. 24 hours ago, right? Sacramento, 50 degrees under sunny skies. Looking for a high of 77 in Sacramento yesterday. So they've got that going for them. I didn't give the forecast for Costa Mesa. Yeah, today, looking for a high of 73. Tomorrow, 77. And on Friday, all the way up to 84. So, yeah, how about that? There you have it. All right, I'm going to play a little audio I heard this morning. And the first guy is a former attorney. He was former attorney general for a very short period of time, I think after Jeff Sessions left. His name is Whitaker, all right? And the subject they're talking about is the killing of 9 Americans in Mexico, okay? At what point do you look at this? So if they were launching missiles and killing people, right, and they were sending little green men in to destabilize our communities, you know, what would we stand for that? No. But because you're doing drugs, we will. And we won't bring the full weight, right, of the United States against you. I say that time has come and gone, all right? We have an ally, a friend to our south, right, that has been bought by drug cartels, right? The stories that come out of Mexico are horrendous, and the United States needs to declare war on them, okay? Not on Mexico, on drug cartels. Declare war. Bring all the electronic assets that we have, right, against them, and literally declare war on them. Right, and do what we did to Baghdadi, do to them. Every person in the hierarchy, do that to them. Right? Scorched earth. Right? This is ridiculous. But anyway, this is a former attorney general talking this morning, a little bit ago on Fox News.
Think about what ISIS does, and think about what the cartels do. They terrorize.
This is a sheriff who's county is down along the border.
They kill both their own citizens. They kill Americans. They've infected every community in this country by putting their illicit drugs throughout our country. Yes. It's time we step up and list them as terrorists, I think.
I know you've got a lot of hard feelings on that, too. I'll get to that. The president says we need to go to war against the cartels. The Mexican president said this in response. We don't think by opening fire, massacring, using force.
Yeah, so what are you going to talk to him? Like, what the fuck, man?
Blood and fire, we will resolve this problem. So back to the point then, what are they willing to do, or maybe what can we do, Matthew?
Well, the first thing we can do is harden our southern border. A lot of the illegal drugs and human trafficking comes across our southern border, and I think the president is right in an effort to get control of our southern border, because these cartels own parts of the border south of the United States, and I think that's something that we are continuing to work on and did work on. But, this is narco-terrorism. I saw it when I visited the country of Colombia. They also have a narco-terrorism problem. And we're going to have to work with the Mexican government to eradicate it. And fundamentally, it's going to be a massive job. Their murders last year in Mexico were in the tens of thousands, all because of this failed narco state that Mexico's become. And, the bottom line is we need to continue to evaluate our relationship with Mexico and see if they are taking steps to actually correct these challenges.
And the details on this are just stomach churning, and everyone can
certainly agree on that.
Awful indeed.
All right, that was Bill Hemmer and the former Attorney General, temporary type, Whitaker, that assumed Jeff Sessions' duties after he left. All right, narco-terrorism. All right. Now, this is a former Assistant Secretary of State for Law Enforcement, and he's talking about the problem on our border and what do we do with it.
What's obviously an egregious act and a tragedy, but it really reflects an endemic problem in Mexico. We have four cartels down there, the Jalisco, Sinaloa, Gulf, and Los Zetas. They're violent. I mean, they have up to, they have 50 cal weapons. They have surface-to-air missiles. So the President Trump, is not wrong to describe it in some ways as a war. But the bottom line is it's a rule of law challenge, and they are testing the Mexican president.
No, it's not a rule of law challenge, okay? Right? People who come to destroy you, that's not a rule of law challenge. I heard this today, and you just look at them and you're like, God bless you, man. You don't even know what you're doing. I've seen rule of law challenges, right? They don't come with 50 caliber machine guns and stingers, all right? They don't do that. Or a ZSU, quad 23 millimeter weapon. That's not what a rule of law challenge looks like. Anyway, sorry about that.
Lopez Obrador, they're trying to see what his limits are, whether he will respond, whether he will allow them to take control of their geographic corridors. And, the facts down there are pretty horrific. In 2018, you had 35,964 murders. That was a 12% increase from 2017, and the numbers are higher in 2019. So I think what we're up against is a challenge to rule of law. And the United States does help. My bureau and the State Department, today under Secretary Pompeo are helping Mexico, but they have a challenge on their hands, and they need to confront it directly.
Crime is one thing, but shooting a child in the back and allowing infants to burn an SUV is just beyond that.
Well, let's make no
imagine.
Yes,
yeah. I mean isn't crime. This is obscene behavior toward other human beings.
Well, what?
This is obscene behavior towards other human beings. Now, Bill Hemmer makes his living with his looks and his mouth, right? He's a newsreader, right? That's called war, Bill, right? That is called a war, right? And a barbaric war where the rules don't matter because innocent people get slaughtered because they get in your way. And so Hemmer screws that up.
What is drug trafficking and what is the ruthless behavior of these cartels historically? That's exactly what they do. They have no moral compass. They're ruthless, and that's why we have to take them on directly. That's why the president's discussion about keeping our border safe at the our southern border safe is critical. And frankly, we ought to be joining up with Mexico in trying to get rid of these bad actors. They are truly horrific actors, and they challenge rule of law in Mexico, and ultimately they're going to challenge it here.
No, they bought Mexico. Mexico, some elements of Mexico are trying to claw that country back. And with the narco-terrorists, no, we paid for this. See all these receipts? We paid everybody. We own this thing. Don't you get that? We do business here. We own this thing. So stop playing charades with us. Okay? We own this. And if you want to stand up and confront us, trust me, it will not turn out well for you. And again, an example, 2 weeks ago, they went to yoke up El Chapo's son, right? And then whatever cartel that he belongs to, right, they called out their QRF, and they surrounded the military unit, and they would have annihilated them, except the military unit said, "Our bad, you can have him." And that's what happened. Okay? And that's what happened. That's not a rule of law issue, bro. That means you don't run your country anymore. Right? They allow you the facade of acting like you run your country. And in the meantime, they operate with impunity in there, right? And they're sending their shit all over the world, right, to make their money. And to me, the United States, I don't care what Mexico says anymore, right? And we may violate your border to kill these guys. And the reason we're going to do that is because you don't own your country anymore. And if the truth hurts, we don't give a shit because we're sick and tired of this, right? We are absolutely sick and tired of this shit.
I mean, you saw the president's offer to Mexico.
Yes.
That has been rebuffed. FBI is offering to help. There's questions over how much help they're willing to receive on this.
So, actually, behind the scenes, we do coordinate. DEA works closely with Mexican law enforcement, our Coast Guard, and other parts of our military.
And that has all got us the status quo, okay? That has all got us the status quo. It reminds me of me getting asked, "Mac, what's a major criticism of what you do?" "I'm not a PhD." And I said, "But you know what? I don't get after the mental health people in the DOD because I think they're trying as hard as they can. But if anybody wants to do this in public, here's what I would say. I think it's incumbent on the people that have given us the system that only sees more suicide to justify what the fuck they're doing. And the way that system works is the PhDs recommend, right? The generals, they're not going to usurp it because they're going to take on a PhD. No, what do? They hide behind it because that's how you get promoted to the next grade. I mean, if you don't do that and you go out on your own, what happens if it blows up? That's how unique Furness is. Okay? He said, "I'm not going to do that." And if I'm done as a major general, then guess what? That was a pretty fucking good run. But that's not the institution, man. That is not the institution. So the system this dude's talking about, oh, the DEA coordinates, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and the border is owned by those drug cartels. Did you see the pictures of the little kids that got machine gunned? American little kids that got fucking machine gunned and then burned in their car by animals. And I say, look, if you want to play that fucking game, then we'll play that fucking game. And you're going to get hunted. Okay, you're going to get hunted, and you're going to know what al-Baghdadi felt like, because we're going to come after you with the full weight of the United States, and we're going to put your shit out of business. He goes on.
...work with their military and the State Department, INL Bureau in particular, is really hand in glove. The problem is that they're not confronting this as directly and as comprehensively as they need to. And I think what the president is saying, our president, is right on. And that is that we need to join hands here and directly confront this, because it's a rule of law challenge that will come over our border if we don't address it there.
Why do you say, you said that twice now, how would they challenge us?
That will come over our border? The shit that you see going on in our inner cities, it's already come on our borders. It's come through our borders. Talk to people, law enforcement dudes down, and they say that these guys will do movement to contact. They'll cross the border in military formations with crew-served weapons, i.e. machine guns. If they're delivering somebody, if they're picking people up, they're conducting a military event in the United States. And this guy, you know, shit, I don't even know anything this dude knows. And this is a rule of law issue.
Well, they distribute, the border is more porous than people know.
Oh!
And transnational organized crime is already in this country.
Wait a minute, you said it's going to come here.
Our drug trafficking organizations and arms of drug trafficking organizations in every county in the United States. So
every county, they're waging a war against us in every county of this country. Right.
It will only get worse if we don't directly confront it. And right now, Mexico is becoming the prime distributor or manufacturer and redistributor of fentanyl, as well as methamphetamines. You know, China is sort of taking a backseat on fentanyl as Mexico moves forward. Their primary distributors also of heroin. So, you know, we have major, major problems. And I think that the president is right, our president is right, to take it to them. But the bottom line is they're coming here.
This is the time for Mexico, with the help of the United States, to wage war on the drug cartels and wipe them off the face of the earth. We merely await a call from your great new president, to which you referred as a man who's being tested right now. What do you think of his response over the past 48 hours?
I would like to hope that what happens next is that the president of the United States and the president of Mexico have a private conversation, God willing it doesn't get leaked to the press, and a conversation that allows us to find a common basis upon which to tackle those cartels, because it is in our best interests to help Mexico turn the volume down on this violence. And you'll notice this hasn't been the only violent act in the last month that the cartels have pushed.
Robert,
so it's an urgent issue.
How much more do you expect that we will learn? How many more details will actually emerge from what really happened there and why this happened? The Mexican officials are saying these killers may have mistaken the family for members of a rival drug cartel. What do you expect we learn in the coming days?
So that's a reasonable assessment that this was a mistake. This was in Sonora. It's probably Sinaloa cartel involved. They do not target Americans. For what it's worth, I mean, Kiki Camarena was really the first high-level and really egregious targeting of an American in 1985. We responded very vigorously to that. Anybody can look up online how aggressively we responded to that. And, you know, there's a possibility we could support very aggressive action right now in response to this. But generally, Americans are not targeted, which makes me think that this was a mistake. But what a horrific mistake. And frankly, we don't forgive mistakes like this. We go after the perpetrators and we get them.
All right. Let me go over some news headlines. But let me tell you that this is ridiculous, right? This is absolutely, positively ridiculous. And I would agree with him. This is probably a mistake. It's why you don't see bombings in the United States. You can kill Americans all around the world, and the United States won't do anything. You come do it in this country, and they will wipe you off the map. Okay? So, you know, what you want to do is you want to maximize the media coverage you get. You want to build your own organization, and you do that outside of the United States. If you do it inside, you'll be on the run. All right. Some headlines, what you're going to hear today is Andy Milburn, Colonel, United States Marine Corps, retired, former commander of Marine Raiders, Marine Special Operations. And we're going to talk about just open source reporting stuff that came out of the al-Baghdadi raid. So Andy, gracious enough to join us. We recorded this last night, and very, very interesting stuff. So, and what I like to do is bring guys like Andy and then just have them explain stuff. Okay. And I think you'll find it very, very interesting. So don't touch that dial. Good stuff. Other headlines. Well, headlines. Coast Guard searches for airman who fell from a C-130 while training over the Gulf of Mexico. Evidently fell 1,700 feet out of a C-130. Like, what the fuck? Really? Marine Corps headlines. Nothing I would burden you with. The trial of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger is getting ready to get underway, and a Marine Gunnery Sergeant, Mario Madera Rodriguez, faces possible life in prison if found guilty of the most severe charge of felony murder in Melger's death. His two co-defendants have already pled guilty to their involvement and have been sentenced. Madera Rodriguez and Navy Chief Special Warfare Operator Tony DeDolph made initial appearances in August, and then when their charges were referred to a general court-martial, Madera Rodriguez was arraigned on charges of conspiracy to assault and battery, obstruction of justice, burglary, felony murder, involuntary manslaughter, hazing, making a false official statement according to court records. I think everybody believes that this is a case of manslaughter, not murder. So anyway, this goes to trial. So that in the news. Also, top five stories in early bird real quick. Number one, President Trump okays a wider Syria oil mission, raising legal questions. Are you kidding me? Right? Are you kidding me? And again, the dysfunction on the eastern side of the Potomac. What, are we just making this shit up as we go? Honestly, I mean, to me, it's embarrassing. Right? And, but so if this was part of a well-thought plan, you know, this shit would have got rolled out, right? And as Jeff and Tim and I talked about, and therefore, like, why are we in Syria? Well, guess what? Now we're in Syria in a bigger way. We got tank companies there, for God's sakes. Awesome. Number two, SecDef. China is exporting killer robots to the Middle East. China is exporting drones that it advertises having lethal autonomy in the Middle East, according to Mark Esper. As we speak, the Chinese government is already exporting some of its most advanced military aerial drones to the Middle East as it prepares to export its next generation stealth UAVs when those come online. In addition, Chinese weapons manufacturers are selling drones advertised as capable of full autonomy, including the ability to conduct lethal targeted strikes. Pretty interesting little article in Defense One about how these things, you know, once you launch them, right, they, you know, they're autonomous. They can't be jammed and all the rest of that stuff. Number three, as possible shutdown looms, troop pay raises seem safe, but benefits could be interrupted. Number four, the National Guard is shoring up its fight for 2020 election hacking. Number five, AWOL paratrooper caught overseas after 6 years at large. Overseas operations, Iran threatens U.S. forces and allies who host American troops. Iran is in trouble these days. In last days, al-Baghdadi sought safety in his shrinking domain. Next headline, U.S. suspending Valiant Ace Korea fighter jet exercise for the second year in a row. Next headline, after 18-year J-Star surveillance plane is coming home from the Middle East. That thing was pretty cool, too, I'm not going to lie to you. Syria, Turkey. Turkey says Kurdish fighters still remain in the safe zone near the Syrian border. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Andy Milburn, Colonel, United States Marine Corps, former commanding officer of Marine Raiders or Marine Special Operations Command. Andy's going to join us, and we'll talk about the al-Baghdadi raid, what we've read, right, and just have him explain things, which I love to do. So don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All-Warrior Raider Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan,